Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pocketoid, the internet's longest running handheld gaming podcast that also talks about other video games that aren't handhelds anymore because we live in a society where handhelds and consoles are all mixed up and weird now. My name's Jordan. You can follow me on Twitter at Jackal27. With me, as always, is my co-host.
It's me, Addison. You can follow me on Twitter at Addison_L.
And you can follow the show at Pocketoid on Twitter, and you can also subscribe to us on Twitch at twitch.tv/Pocketoid, and you can also follow the link in our pinned tweet on Twitter to join our awesome Discord community full of nice boys and girls and in-betweens who do all kinds of fun, cool things, like play video games and be nice to each other. And
hell yeah.
You can be one of them. You can be a nice video game person too if you join our Discord, but that's the only way to do it. Otherwise,
and also if you're nice.
Yeah.
Please be nice.
Boy, this one's off to a great start. This week is our last episode of 2021, but it's not, because it's like January, what? I don't know, January. It's the middle of January.
16th. It's yeah. 16th today.
It's the middle of January, and we're recording our 2021 Games of the Year episode. But I always like doing these a little later, because you get a little time to reflect. I feel like people that like do their Games of the Year in like November, I'm like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Yeah. Hey, you know, Giant Bomb has not even put out their Game of the Year episodes yet. So
yeah.
So yeah. We're okay. We're okay on this one.
Yeah. Quit judging me. But yeah, so this week we're just going to do our Game of the Year stuff, but I do kind of want to know, Addison, is there anything, like just one or two things cool that you've been playing recently that you could tell me about?
There is. I just kind of jotted down a couple things. I was trying to remember if the last time we recorded, that was before we did our little Light Gun Day, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, so I came over and a couple of our friends came over and we spent an afternoon playing a bunch of Light Guns over at your house. And
yeah.
That was very fun.
It was very, very fun. I had a great time.
I was not familiar with Project Horned Owl, but I played that with you and that was super cool. I liked that game quite a bit.
The next time we have one, we're going to play the follow-up game by that same team called Elemental Gearbolt. Which is supposedly the best light gun game on the PlayStation 1, and it goes for like $400 now.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to play a legit copy of it.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it and everything.
Yeah, for $400. yeah, that was really fun. I had a good time with that. I have also been playing the first Dang It Ron Paul. I couldn't decide if I was going to say Dang It Ron Paul or Danganronpa. So whenever I say Dang It Ron Paul, it's just an old ongoing joke of about the name of Danganronpa, which, if you're not familiar, is kind of like a bit of a VN and Ace Attorney kind of game, just super anime and very very hip with the teens.
Yeah.
Or at least it was at some point. I don't know if it still is.
I was about to say, in like 2013.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a little late on this
which was 9 years ago.
All right, cool. Thanks. Didn't need that.
Wii U turns into a retro console this year, Addison.
Wow, that's weird.
That's fucked, dude.
Wow, you just kind of derailed my entire brain with that. Yeah, I finished the first chapter, so I've gone through the preface and the first chapter of Dang It Ron Paul, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Nice.
And so yeah, it's very anime, but I'm having a good time with that. I also have started a playthrough of Earthbound on the Mister.
Oh, nice.
I'm damn determined that this is gonna be the one. This is the one where I'm gonna actually finish it. And I have I've got a walkthrough saved on my iPad that I will like kind of look at here and there. And I'm just kind of slowly, just whenever I feel like playing something on the Mister, I'll sit down and play that for a while and work my way through it. So just wrapping up Onet and in my way to a giant step right now.
Despite the absolutely unbearable dialogue around that game ongoing for about 25 years now, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if anyone has been made aware, but Earthbound is it's a good game.
Not the best thing ever, not the worst thing ever, just a pretty darn good game.
Yeah. So the reason why I decided to do this was a couple of reasons. One, I was just really not sure what I wanted to play on my Mister one night, and then I was like, you know what? Now's the time. And another reason being that once I get my analog pocket, I would like to play through Mother 3 on that.
Oh, hell yeah. So,
fuck, dude. I'll play through Earthbound first.
That one needs more dialogue, because that might be like all the hype that Earthbound gets, I'm like, yeah, Earthbound's pretty good. But then Mother 3, I'm like, no one's talking about how this is like one of the best games ever made. And also one of like the greatest anti-capitalist narratives I've ever experienced. And It's great. Mother 3 is awesome.
Yeah. I've always heard that, and I've seen plenty of essays on the game. And so,
yeah,
just trying to work my way through these like a very late to the party nerd.
Nice. The best way to be. Wait till everyone shuts up about something and then play it.
Yes, actually, there's a lot of merit to that. You're not wrong. The other thing I've been playing is the intermission DLC for Final Fantasy VII Remake, nice. Which I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts on.
I
as a reminder, I never really played that much of the original Final Fantasy VII, so anything that is changed between that and this remake is typically lost on me. So some of the story stuff that's going on, I don't know if it's new or old or not, but so the DLC primarily is about Yuffie and her meeting up with Avalanche, and it's been really good so far. I think I'm probably about halfway through it, and the music is just incredibly amazing. Like,
yeah, stuff you've shown every me time has been really good.
Every time I play it, I'm just like, wow, I cannot believe that this is a video game soundtrack. Like, so that's just a quick kind of recap of what I've been playing lately. What about you?
I have been playing, I bought a bunch of PS2 games. I don't know if you heard. A lot of them, and they've all been coming in slowly, and I've slowly been realizing how many I actually bought. But I've been playing one of them, and it's Outrun 2006, baby.
Nice.
Which I had never played, and also I originally thought was an Xbox exclusive, but no, it came to the PS2 as well. So when I found that out, I was like, I should buy this. Oh no, it's $60. And then I got a good deal on it for like $30. And man, that game owns. Holy shit. It's just like, every day, all I can think about is getting back to driving that pretty car down those roads and hearing the same music. And it's just awesome. I don't know. Something about it just feels nice. And it's a very relaxing experience. And I really like Outrun 2006. If you haven't played it, you should. I really wish they would do some new ports of that game, because I really feel like it would shine in HD, but I'm sure it's hard to get the license and all that. But boy, that game could really, 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 really use a remaster. I wonder if it's like, I need to look back, but I bet we're like as far away removed from Outrun 2006 as Outrun 2006 was from the original Outrun. I bet it's pretty similar time frame.
You just always got to point that stuff out, huh? Always.
But yeah, it's a very good game. I like it a lot. If you have a PS2, I'd say it's like a must own. Even though it's pretty pricey, it's worth it. I totally would have paid $60 for that game. It's dope. So I've been playing that. I'm trying to think what else I've been playing. Oh, I picked up not Harvest Moon. I'm going to say Harvest Moon a bunch. Apologies ahead of time. I picked up Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns for the 3DS. So apparently, I've been doing some research into the old Harvest Moon / Story of Seasons franchise lately. I've been getting into like younger people on YouTube, like, you know, early 20 somethings who are making video game reviews, and it's really interesting because they're all Zoomers, and they talk about different video games that I'm not as familiar with because I was like in college when they were coming into their teen years. And so like a lot of them, you know, they'll like apparently there's this big ongoing narrative in the or I guess controversy or whatever within the Harvest Moon / Story of Seasons fan base, which is that like all millennials think that the series ended after Friends of Mineral Town.
Yeah.
When in fact, there's been like a lot of very good Harvest Moons, like on the Wii and on the PSP and on the 3DS. And so I was like, man, I should, you know, because I adore that series, but I am also guilty of being one of those people who is just kind of like, yeah, I'll just play Friends of Mineral Town, whatever. And so I was like, I should check out some of the new ones. And then I went to, and then I kept seeing people say that like Trio of Towns is like incredible and kind of like the peak of modern Story of Seasons. And I was like, oh, I should check that out. How much is that game now? It's like $70. It's a lot for a 3DS game, but it's because it released in 2017 after the Switch. So it was one of those 3DS games that nobody bought because nobody wanted to play the 3DS anymore. But then I found a nice girl online and she just sold me her copy for $40. She was like, yeah, this is what I paid for it. I don't, you know, at launch, I don't care. She's like, she was even like, you can resell it if you want to. And I was like, I would never do that. Thank you so much. And so I picked up Story of Seasons Trio of Towns. And guess what? It's really fucking good. It's awesome. It's a really good game. I really wish I'd been playing like Story of Seasons more. And it's just cool to see that those games continued to evolve and modernize in really interesting ways. And yeah, I'm really interested to see where the series goes. Apparently the newest one on the Switch was not received well at all. And so,
oh yeah. Yeah. No, I heard real bad things about that.
Yeah. Apparently it tried to like do what's that game called? The one everyone likes. Stardew Valley. It did a lot of like Stardew Valley or like Forager stuff where it was much more like systems based instead of like a relaxing farming experience. It was like go as fast as possible and like make as much as possible. And like it barely had any emphasis on like character interactions, which sucks. And so, yeah, it sounds bad, but I think that's also kind of driven up the price on Trio of Towns. So if you happen to come across a copy of Trio of Towns or you would like to pirate it, or you can find it for a good price. It's a really good game. I'm loving it so far, and I hope that they continue to push the series more in that direction rather than this other new direction that's bad.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think one of the reasons I'm going down this rabbit hole is because I am, kind of unawares, preparing myself mentally for the release of Rune Factory 5. And boy, I want to play that game, Addison. I want to play that game real bad. God,
I'm so excited for that. I cannot wait for that.
I started following this Japanese YouTuber. Well, she's not Japanese, and she's trying to make her channel like appeal more to Japanese people, but it's not working. And so like she keeps making English videos, but she is playing Rune Factory 5 for like the last year, and she's just like, yeah, this game is a fucking masterpiece. It's like the best the series has ever been. I can't stop playing it. It's so good. And I'm like, oh, I need it right now. But we have to wait a couple more months. Anyway. But those are kind of the two main things I've been playing lately that have been just kind of outside of our periphery. I'm trying to think if there's been anything else. Nope, just kind of those two and a few indie games here and there, and retro games here and there, and also the light guns, and also the game I'm playing for review that I can't talk about yet. Oh, I want to talk about it. I want to talk about it so bad.
I want you to talk about it, but I know we can't.
No, we can't.
I want it real bad.
There's a game coming. I think it releases on Thursday, probably. I will post about it on Twitter, but I'll just say that I can't say whether I've been enjoying that game or not, but I sure have been playing a lot of it. I am playing it a lot. So anyway, okay, let's move on. All right, so I guess that's all of our stuff we've been playing. Let's get into our Game of the Year list, Addison.
Okay.
So I think that what we discussed is that we're going to like go like honorable mentions and then our list, right? And we'll do like me on and then you on, correct?
Yeah, I think that's what we had said that we would do. So yeah,
I need to update the Google Doc, but at one point I made a Google Doc of putting all of our Game of the Years from each year, like making a list of those so people could see each year.
Yeah, I forgot that had been doing that.
I didn't update it last year and I need to, but the thing that stuck out to me is that we had changed the way we did Game of the Year every single year.
Yeah, that checks out. That sounds right to me.
So prefaces first. Obviously, these are our lists. And there are a lot of things we didn't get to this year, especially me. I used to play my Switch a lot more. And then this year, my retro game blog took off, and I played a lot more retro games this year. And so the Switch has been not getting as much attention from me. And so I want to go ahead and say, here's a few games that I missed this year that that probably would have landed on my list if I had played them. Cyber Shadow, I still really, really want to play that game. The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, I actually own, but I haven't played it yet. Neo, The World Ends With You, I also own, but have not played yet. Eastward, I haven't played yet. Littlewood has been on my list all year. Lost and Random, I want so bad. Cozy Grove, I know all of you guys in the Discord love Cozy Grove. I still haven't touched
Cozy
it
Grove
yet.
Is very good.
And Death's Door, which I know JoJo's going to kill me, but I hear Death's Door is like, I kept seeing like, I was going through like other people's, you know, top 10 indie, you know, Switch indie games from 2021, and I kept seeing Death's Door as number one. And I was like, oh, I need to play Death's Door. I think it's on the Switch. Either way, whatever. I kept seeing Death's Door
it is.
All over the place.
Death's Door is on the Switch.
Yeah, I was like, was I just seeing indie game lists or Switch indie game lists? I couldn't remember. But yeah, Death's Door, I really want to try, especially after seeing how much hype it's gotten, but I just haven't played it yet. So let's do our honorable mentions first. Let's just do one on, one off. Addison, go with one of your honorable mentions real quick.
I will just say that Anodyne 2 was a very fantastic game that had just an incredible visual style that I do kind of wish I had spent some more time with it, and maybe it would have made my top 10 list, but that is just, there's nothing else like that game, and it's not for everybody, but man, I really enjoyed the time that I did spend with that, and I still got it hanging around on my Switch, and I do plan to go back in one day and kind of explore some more of that.
Anodyne 2 is actually surprisingly also in my honorable mentions, and I really think I loved Anodyne 2, and I feel like that's more of a testament to just how many amazing games we played this year. I know we say that every year, but this year feels like the year of the fucking heavy hitters. We got some big, big stuff this year, and I really didn't even notice how much big stuff we got until I was like looking back. But yeah, Anodyne 2 is also on my honorable mentions. I will also mention, this should also tell you something. Tony Hawk 1 and 2 is on my honorable mentions, which I love that game. It's fantastic. And the Switch port is just an incredible achievement. And I was like, man, I feel like this should be on my list, but I'm going to leave it down because, you know, it came out a year ago. I think it's better on the PS4, even if the Switch version is absolutely fantastic and a great way to play that game. I still prefer the original PS4 release, so I'm just leaving it down in the honorable mentions. What's another one for you?
So I didn't play this on the Switch, but it does have a Switch version. But Persona 5 Strikers.
I
was like super, super deep into that for a while, and I think it was just probably like a timing thing as to when I started playing it and other things releasing, but I just kind of had stuff happen, and I just didn't get all the way through it, which, you know what, that happens. It happens a lot. But yeah, I think that game's great, and it honestly ended up being a lot better than I had expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And so that is another one that I will eventually get back to.
One that I want to throw out there is Fuga, Melodies of Steel. And the only reason Fuga is not on my top 10 list is because I literally started playing it a couple days ago. I'm not far enough to put it onto my top 10 of the year list. But Fuga is, if you don't know, it is the sequel to Solo 2 Robo for the DS. And
I didn't realize that this was out now.
It is out. It is only available digitally. It's probably never going to have a physical release because they only said they do a physical release if it like blew up, and it has not blown up. And I'm not seeing it on anyone's lists except for a few people that I like really, really respect who just won't shut up about this game and say it's incredible. And I'll tell you what I've played of it. This game's fucking fantastic, and I feel like just as many people are going to miss it as they missed Solo 2 Robo on the DS.
Can you
until,
spell
like,
it?
Years later.
Fuga, can you spell it just for people listening?
Yeah, Fuga. And it's called Melodies of Steel. It's kind of a strategy game, but it's much more like, it's about child soldiers, and it's a little depressing, and it's about...
So it's a
little
Gundam game?
It's a Gundam game. That's what I was literally about to say. It's like a Gundam... It's a Gundam 08MS team game with cute dogs and cats instead. And it's sad and also extremely good. So you should really play Fuga Melodies of Steel. Yeah, but it's on my honorable mentions because I just did not feel comfortable putting it on my top 10 with how little I've played of it. You have another one?
I do. I've got still a handful of these. My next one would be Garden Story. It honestly, at the time of playing Garden Story, I would have thought that it would make my top 10 list, but there's just too many other things that came out.
Same.
But Garden Story, I think, is just a very fantastic, wholesome game that is just very relaxing to play, and it's just super cute, and I think it's great, and I cannot believe that it's not on my top 10.
I really need to get back to playing more Garden Story, but when I started it, I just was not in the right headspace, and I started playing the next game on my list, which is Quake.
Hell yeah.
Quake is, you know, obviously a very old video game, so I would have felt weird putting it in my top 10 for the year, but also it's like one of the best remasters I've ever seen, and it was a very like needed remaster because Quake only had, I think, like the original Quake, I think only had like one console port, if I remember correctly, or like one or two, and they weren't good. And so this is now like, and this has like tons of extra features, like tons of extra options, and it's just an incredible remaster of the best Quake game. Yeah, I said it, and you should definitely.
What? That's not a Night Dive joint, is it?
It is.
Is it? Okay.
It's a Night Dive joint. The same guys who did a Turok. Bunch of stuff. Yep. Did Turok and a bunch of other stuff. It is Night Dive. Most recently, Shadow Man. Yep. You should really, really get that Quake remaster, especially if you've not played the first one. The first Quake to me feels like this really cool kind of mesh between, it's like a weird in-between point of the Doom series and the more modern shooter. And like the original Doom, like 1 and 2, and the more modern shooter. And I just love it so much, and I wish more people would play it. Yeah, so go pick up Quake, but I can't put it on my list. It's a game that's like 1,000 years old. So, all right, what's your other one? You got another one?
Yeah, I've got a few more here. This one is kind of hard. I never want to put games on my top 10 list that weren't actually released in 2021.
Yeah, same.
But video games have evolved as a medium over the last decade, especially. And so, I don't know. There's arguments on both sides, I feel like. All that to say that I'm going to leave Fortnite in my honorable mentions because Hey, listen. You don't know, man. You haven't been there. You haven't been in the trenches with Rick and Morty and Spider-Man and Naruto. You don't know. It's very fun. There's just no way that I can't like at least give it an honorable mention after as much as I've played of it this year and just like spent so much time just laughing at as a xenomorph with a Morty hammer and the little dog from Naruto on his back riding around in a monster truck. Like Fortnite knows what it is and I love it. And I don't care. I do not care if people have negative things to say because I have a very good time just being real stupid in that.
I'm happy for you. I wish I could love things again, but I'm just broken.
Thanks, all right. Pills.
Yeah, yeah. Another one of my honorable mentions is Toem. I'm not going to say too much about Toem. I literally reviewed it in the last episode. It's good.
I kind of thought that was going to be in your top 10.
No. My top 10 is, there's a lot. But Toem did not make it into the top 10. It is an honorable mention, though. It's good.
Well, do you have, how many more honorable mentions do you have? I have two.
Just do them both.
Okay. So one that I just spent so much time with, and it would be weird if I didn't mention it, is Picross S. So
yeah.
This was the Picross Sega game.
That one I thought about too. It's very good.
I spent like 50 hours or something on this year and did like, I think, every single puzzle in the game. So, I mean, It's still a Picross game, so at the end of the day, I can't get it on my top 10. I just can't.
Yeah.
But I did spend 50 hours with this, and it definitely meant a lot to me this year, and so really happy to play that. And then the one that really hurts to put in my honorable mentions, Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
I just like was having a blast with it, and then just kind of, I don't know
just
what happened.
Fell off,
just fell off real hard, and I had a really good time with it, and I love that game, and I know that I could probably go back to it and still be enjoying it, but I don't know. I just fell off real hard on it.
No, and, I feel that.
It feels weird putting it in honorable mentions, but there it is.
All right, well, let's get into our top 10 games of the year 2021 lists. And once again, these are all like our Switch stuff. Because it's the show, we cover Switch games. It's going to be Switch stuff. I kind of miss the days when it could be like the 3DS and the Vita and mobile games. But you know what?
I don't think I mentioned this when I was texting you earlier, but I do have a small list of mobile games that I made too.
I don't have any. Just save it. Save it for later. If we have time, you can talk about that. I know you've covered a lot more mobile stuff this year than I have. Okay, so I'll go ahead and start, and then I'll just go to you. So I'm going to start with my number 10, which is, and the reason I'm just jumping into it is because of what you just said. It's Monster Hunter Stories 2, which is crazy to me that it's that low on my list.
I know.
But I was debating whether it would, even get pushed down to my honorable mentions as well, because I also fell off of this game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I honestly, it was the game I was most hyped for 2021. Like I remember at the end of our episode last year, I was like, oh yeah, I think the game I'm most looking forward to is Monster Hunter Stories 2, but it just did not capture me the same way the first game did. And I still think it's a great game, and I really love it, and it's gorgeous, and it's fun. But it just did not hook me the same way. And so, yeah, that it's a great game, and I love it, and it's obviously one of my top 10 games I played this year on my Switch, but it's, yeah, I just could not quite break any higher than number 10. So, but when you see what else is on this list, I mean, it just kind of makes sense. There was a lot of good stuff. So, all right, what's your number 10?
My number 10, and, I will say, we don't have like a lot of strict rules when making these lists. I think kind of have our own rules that we apply, just in our own heads. So, that this game might have gotten even higher on my list if I had like more time with it. But my number 10 is Chicory.
Nice.
I just really, really enjoy this game, and, yeah, I think it's one of the best indie titles to come out on the Switch this year.
Yeah, if you want to hear more about Chicory, you can listen to our last episode where Addison reviewed it. I really need to play that game. It sounds awesome. Okay, my number 9. Someone's going to kill me. Stevie's going to kill me. I'm dead. I'm a dead man. My number 9 is Shin Megami Tensei 5. And the reason it's so low has nothing to do with the game. It's only because I have not played as much of this game as I want to. And I'm like, I want to put it higher, but I really have only made it to a couple of bosses. And so I feel gross putting it higher than the stuff I've played a lot more, but it's really good. It's a great game. There's no way I could push it higher than number 9 with how little I've played of it this year.
Spoilers, it's on my list, and I feel very similar. And if I hadn't lost an hour of progress last night, then maybe I ranked it higher.
Oh, God, that sucks. Was that because of, like, the game itself fucking you over, or something, an accident happened?
It was partially the game fucking me over and partially me not paying attention. I was just trying to grind to get ready for a boss, and I was just playing it while watching something with some people on Discord. So I kept like just doing the auto battle. And,
oh no.
I just got a little too risky with that. So it should have been fine. 9 times out of 10, it was fine. But, there's always that chance that you're just going to get absolutely clapped.
That's the game.
That's what happened. And I hadn't saved.
It is also what makes it so rewarding, though. That is what I love about the series, and it's what I love about this one too. Is just like it's really engaging. I like playing an RPG once in a while, like Monster Hunter Stories 2, where I can just kind of tap buttons and also watch wrestling at the same time. But like Shin Megami Tensei 5, it's one of those RPGs where I really have to be engaged with it. And I do enjoy that about the game. It's a very good game, and I love it, and it's gorgeous, and it's awesome. And I should have played it more, but. You know, there's OutRun 2006 got here, Addison. What am I supposed to do?
There's too many video games and not enough time.
So that was my number nine.
What was your number nine?
What's your number nine?
My number nine is Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury. So typically, since this is kind of just an enhanced port, I wouldn't have included it. But the fact that it has this expansion that includes Bowser's Fury, and Bowser's Fury is like its own like separate thing, and it, you know, could easily be sold as like a $30 game on its, excuse me, on its own. I'm including it. And yeah, I've heard
several people say that this year. I've heard it's like Bowser's Fury is its own thing.
Yes.
So
Bowser's Fury was fantastic, and I keep hearing a lot of people saying like, oh, this is like a glimpse of what Mario is going to be in the future. But you have to remember that this is Nintendo. So who knows if this is what the next Mario game is going to be like. I would be totally fine with that, provided some minor things are adjusted. But I think Bowser's Fury is fantastic. And Super Mario 3D World is like some top tier 3D Mario, like some of the best that the series has ever had. And it was, you know, locked away on the Wii U, the system that you, me, and two of our listeners bought. So it's nice that that has now been played by a ton of other people, a bunch of people that I'm sure had no idea that it was like a rehash, like that this had already come out before.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that made it out there.
Yeah, same. That was one I wanted to play this year, but I just couldn't get around to it. But someday I'll pick it up just for Bowser's Fury, and we'll see. Okay.
Number eight
is Dodgeball Academia.
Yes, that's one that I wish I had played more of, and probably would have made my list if I had, but I've only played like, I don't know, a couple hours of it or something.
I think that there are better games below Dodgeball Academia on my list, but it's just a game that worked for me really, really well, and it's a type of game that I really love and have just kind of been hungry for a long time, which is the sports RPG. I love sports RPGs, like the Mario Tennis and Mario Golf games on the Game Boy Color and GBA. Yep. And this game just really scratched that itch while also being a really dope, fun dodgeball game with a lot of quirky characters and cool art design and neat mechanics. And I just love it a lot. I like it. It's one of those games that, once again, I haven't finished, but every time it's just kind of stayed within those top five, you know, Switch games on my home screen, the whole, like almost for like half the year now, because I'm just constantly kind of jumping in for a few minutes and then playing something else. But man, I've really, really enjoyed Dodgeball Academia, and I like it a lot. So yeah,
it's got such a nice art style to it.
It does. Yeah. And it just, for me, it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like the right place on my list is right here at number eight. So, all right. What about you? What's your number eight?
My number eight is Cruisin' Blast.
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah. I think our lists are going to be similar, just a little reordered.
Yeah.
But, I think that Cruisin' Blast is fantastic. And, that song, it is literally impossible for that song to be old to me because it's so damn good. It's so stupid. And it was the thing that first drew me to Cruisin' Blast whenever I saw it in like a bowling alley.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, you can race as a dinosaur, and 2021 was a great revival of arcade racers.
Yeah,
and
2020 was fantastic. Too. 2020 had some great releases too. Yeah, there's been a few good ones those last few years.
I also played a good chunk of that new Hot Wheels game.
Yeah,
and that could have easily been on my list, honestly.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I've loved seeing that, and I'm really glad there's been kind of a renaissance, because I didn't realize I was such a big fan of the genre until this Arcade Racer Renaissance, and now I'm going back and finding all these awesome PS2 and like Wii games, from the, even like N64 and Dreamcast games from this genre that I just completely passed over when I was a kid. So I'm glad it's having a little renaissance. It's a lot of fun.
I just think that there should be more games like Cruisin' Blast where I can race as a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Or this Hot Wheels game where I can race as a toilet. So
I thought you were going to say as a dinosaur because my kid has Hot Wheels that are also dinosaurs.
Oh, there are. I'm pretty sure that there are some dinosaur cars in that as well.
Hell yeah.
They have like a lot of great DLC, like, like there's all of these stupid DC heroes and villains cars that you can buy. I don't
race
know
what the Joker
are,
baby,
but yeah, there's a Joker car. There's a Penguin car. Arcade racers are the way to go. And then like also this was the year that we had Forza 5 come out, which is like a lot of people's favorite racing game ever. And yeah, I don't know. It's a good racing year.
Yep.
Did you say you were in the already? Or
I did. Yeah, it was Dodgeball Academia. I hope we never go back to the simulation racer dark days. I like simulation racers. They have their place. But I was so sick of like every racing game that came out being a simulation racer. I was like, dude, just please, can we have a little, just a crumb of fun, please?
Yeah. So can we have a little fun as a treat?
Yeah. All right. My number 7 is Unpacking. Unpacking is good. Okay. It's a good game. I would have put it higher, but it's such a brief, short experience. But man, that's a great game. It's so good. And the way it does environmental storytelling, it's just stuck with me. And I think it just kind of speaks for itself. Like, it's crazy how it's been like in the top 10 sellers on the Switch for months.
I know,
and
that makes me
now.
So happy.
Yeah, and me too.
I listen to a ton of podcasts at work, and so weird, a lot of them are video game related. And it's been really nice just seeing all of these like major publications and outlets putting Unpacking on their end of year lists. That just makes me very happy.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we live in a world where Unpacking can be on so many end of year lists, a game where you pull things out of a box and put them on a shelf.
Absolutely. Looking up my list, it's kind of like Unpacking is the last bastion of not stupid video games on my list. I think that more speaks to like how my tastes have been this last year. I think probably because I've been so into retro games, I've just really loved like crazy over the top, more like gamey games. As far as like those, you know, like modern experimental, cool, emotional games go, I hate the word emotional in regards to video games. I'm so sorry I used that. But you know what I mean? Like as far as like artsy fartsy games that make you do a feel and get you misty eyed, like Unpacking was definitely the one for me this year. And it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. What's your number 7?
My number 7 is new Pokemon Snap.
Nice.
So I am sure that's also on yours. Obviously a little higher than what
I didn't say that. No.
But new Pokemon Snap, it is not without issue, but it is a game that is it accomplished exactly what I come to video games for, which is taking me out of my present.
Taking pictures of Pokemon.
Yes. No. I'm trying to be somewhat serious. It takes me out of like my actual everyday situations and puts me in a fantasy world that I feel at home in and feel like I'm just easily able to get absorbed within. And it was just such a warm hug of a game and had
great way to describe it. Yep.
It had so much more content in it than I had expected it to have. And, I mean, there's even still stuff that I could go back and do in that game that I haven't done yet. I'm very thankful that we got another Pokemon Snap game. And
same.
I just didn't think that would ever actually happen.
Yep.
Glad it did. And I'm glad that it ended up being very good. I don't know. Maybe I should have put it higher. But you know what? It's too late for that.
It's too late now, so, motherfucker. Time to go.
What's your number 6?
My number six is Boomerang X.
Ah,
God.
That's another one that if I had spent more time on, I think would have been on my list. But
yeah,
I need to get back to that.
What a video game, man. I honestly, like, the last, like, five, like, beneath my top five could be arranged in almost any order, honestly. But, like, dude, Boomerang X is great. It's so much fun. It has such a great art style. It's just a brief little experience. It just, like, it's a little compact thing. This year, too, a lot of shorter video games really spoke to me because I have a toddler and also, like, not a ton of time. And so, like, yeah, it was just a great game to, like, because I remember at the time when I picked it up, I was like, I need to play something new. I've seen Twitter talk about this Boomerang X game. I'll give it a shot. And I just knocked it out in like 2 or 3 days. And I was just left like, man, that was just such a satisfying experience. I'm really glad that I, you know, took the dive on that. And it's just awesome. It has the action of, you know, a like Doom 2016, while also having like the beautiful art style of something like, you know, Creature in the Well. And so it just kind of combines, like, you know, and it has this cool alien world that it tells the story of in some really creative and interesting ways.
Yeah.
I never thought
about that comparison to Creature in the Well, but you're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does look a little similar to that to me. And it kind of feels like playing an Adult Swim cartoon, like an Adult Swim short, you know, like a Gennady Tartakovsky cartoon.
Yes, I was just about to make that comparison. Yep.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
It's so good. I really like Boomerang X. I like when it lets me do the big jump and then throw the boomerang below me and kill all the monsters. It's good.
Yeah. It's very fast and very fun.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Can I What's tell yours? You my number six?
You can.
It's Loop Hero.
Oh, man, I'm going to play it so bad.
Loop Hero is a game that I've just dumped hours into over the last few months. And I know it came out a lot earlier on PC, but the Switch release only happened like late November, early December. I forget exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was early December. And man, it is addicting. It's such a good blend of a lot of different types of games. And on the surface, it looks incredibly simple and, you know, some might even say bland. But I just think it's a perfect fit on the Switch. The controls are obviously going to kind of lend themselves a little bit more to a PC environment. But with the touch controls and the different types of options that you have to kind of speed your cursor along and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I think that it just works really well on the Switch, and I am just always thinking about that game somewhere in my brain. So, love Loop Hero. What's your number five?
My number five is Dusk, which has been out for a while on other platforms. Well, the PC specifically. But dude, man, what a great game. I think it's just kind of the peak of this boomer shooter renaissance we've been in. Every time I pick up Dusk, I wind up playing it for like 2 or 3 hours because it's just so fun. At one point I was playing it and I realized that I was playing on like an easier difficulty and I was like, I want more of a challenge from this. And so I just started the whole game over and I wasn't even mad. I just like went back and played like through that whole first quarter or two of the game. And I was just like, this is just as fun as it was before. And it's so well designed. It has so many cool secrets to find and like enemy designs and enemies that, you know, behave in their own specific ways, you know, just like every great boomer shooter, like Doom or whatever. It's kind of, you know, built on the back of its cool enemy designs and the way that they behave when interact with each other. And I just love it. Dusk is fantastic. I cannot recommend it enough. I did not expect to love it as much as I have. I knew I'd probably like it, but man, I just fell head over heels for Dusk this year. And especially in the same year that Quake came out, it was like a great little 1-2 punch on the Switch this year. And people need to play Dusk. If you haven't played Dusk yet and you like even like just Doom, I would recommend Dusk.
This is me just kind of being a little curious.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Dusk or Ion Maiden more?
That's so hard. I think on the Switch,
they changed the name, didn't they?
No, it's what's it called now?
It's Ion Fury.
Ion Fury. Yeah, that's what it's called now.
Yeah.
On the Switch, absolutely Dusk. Dusk is like the pick for me. Just because like they put so much work into this port that it runs flawlessly and controls perfectly, and I just I I don't even feel like I would miss playing with a mouse. You know what I'm saying? But with Ion Fury, there are times when I'm like, a lot of times, honestly, where I'm like, oh man, I should be playing this with a mouse. This is hard. And also Ion Fury is like fantastic. Like I love that game, but there are a few points where I just kind of got like railroaded or something into like a situation and got stuck or, you know, whatever. With Dusk, I've never felt like that. It's just like, I'm just flying at 100 miles an hour all the time. Also, the fucking soundtrack. The soundtrack does that Doom 2016 thing where it's like real moody. And then when a bunch of enemies come out, it breaks into like the craziest metal you've ever heard. And boy, Dusk is so good. But I do think I prefer it over Ion Maiden, especially on the Switch. So yeah.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. They're two different flavors, but you know, they're both good. What about you? Which number five?
It's time for Stevie to be mad at me now. my number five is Shin Megami Tensei 5. I didn't even realize that I had that. Didn't even realize I did that. if I had spent more time with it and gotten a little bit further, and I can hear certain friends of mine yelling at me about this, and they're not wrong, but, you know, stuff happens.
Hey, whenever the year that Shin Megami Tensei 4 came out, I think it was like really low on my list too. And then like the next year, that's whenever I really dove into it. Video games should be savored, and it's hard to savor one when you're doing a top 10 list. So yeah,
you know, they shouldn't have put that Animal Crossing DLC out so close to Shin Megami Tensei.
True,
that's all I'm saying.
Very true.
But yeah, I think it's fantastic. It's brutal and. I get a lot of Persona vibes from it, but...
Shut the fuck up. To be honest, though, like, I do think there's... Like, whenever people are like, oh, I get some Persona vibes, it doesn't make me as mad as it does a lot of other people, but, like,
no,
I do appreciate the characters in this game and the way that they, characterize them. Damn, I hate how I worded that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll keep... grinding at it and working at it until we get that Persona 4 Golden port.
Damn, so, God, I wish.
There was rumors that that was going to be a pre-order bonus for the port of Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
That is such a stupid rumor.
That would not even surprise me that much, because when they put out Persona 3 and Persona 5 Dancing on PlayStation, they also put out a port of Persona 4 Dancing, which had previously only been available on Vita, and the only way that you could get it, at least at the time, I don't know if they ever updated this, was to buy the package that had both games with it, which luckily I got on a price error through Amazon.
Nice. So, that's awesome.
Got both games for the price of one game, so I took it. But yeah, that's my number five. What is your number four?
Number four is Cruisin' Blast. Boy, I love Cruisin' Blast, Addison.
I love to go cruising.
I love it. Honestly, it belongs this high on my list. Like, whenever you had it a little bit lower, I was like second guessing myself, and I was like, no. I played so much Cruisin' Blast this year. I'm still playing Cruisin' Blast. I just love it. It's exactly what I want out of video games, especially this year. This year for me, getting more into retro games, Cruisin' Blast just felt like a breath of fresh air. I can't believe how much I love it. I can't believe I ever second guessed buying it. Like, at first, I was like, oh, should I buy this? I don't know. And then, dude, I really like Cruisin' Blast. It's kind of stupid, and it's kind of bad in some ways. But man, it just feels so good to drive those cars right up a dinosaur. And yeah, it's great.
It's probably the stupidest arcade racer that I've ever played, and I love it so much for that.
It also convinced me to buy like 3 Cruisin' games this year. So
yeah.
Man, it's great. I love it. Okay, what's your number four?
My number four is Unpacking.
Oh, so, hell yeah.
I pretty much agree with everything that you had said about Unpacking. I think that Unpacking is quite the feat in a lot of areas, not just through environmental storytelling, but also in their use of pixel art. because they have, like, the thing I always come back to is, like, how few pixels they use to convey, like, video game and movie covers. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, if it's something that you know, then you can, you see it, even though it's, like, fucking, like, 5-6 pixels or some shit. Like, they just did such a good job with that. And I just think the unpacking is just such a feat in game making, where they told a story without using hardly any words whatsoever.
Yeah.
And just through items being there, being in certain places, not being there. Like, there's a lot to pick up on, and I think it's great. And I will probably go back and replay it at least once this year, I bet.
Yeah. Damn.
What's your number three? We're into the top three now.
Top three. This is where we're going to have to fight. I'm sorry. We're going to have... It's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. My number three is Monster Hunter Rise.
Ooh.
I'm so sorry.
Well, I know what one of the games you have above that is, but I can't think of what the other one is.
I can't believe that Monster Hunter Rise is number three. Oh, wait. How good it is.
No, I know.
Quiet. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
I'm not saying anything.
Monster Hunter Rise is so good. It's the best Monster Hunter. I can't believe I ever doubted it. I was a wrong, big, stupid idiot. It's so good and it's so fun. And they just broke the Monster Hunter. They were like, you know what? What if we just let you break the game? What if we just let you fly through the entire level?
Yeah.
And then you just do it and it's great.
They said, what if you had a dog that could run forever and jump real big?
It did confirm for me that, like, a lot of my issues with Monster Hunter World were more like aesthetic, or more like, you know, it's not over the top enough. It's not arcadey enough. It's not colorful enough. And this game totally brings all that back and more. I think my only complaint is that, like, I wish there was a little more going on, but I really think that's only because we're used to getting the ultimate versions of every game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of the reasons
we've got
why that, I
had that big complaint, expansion coming this summer.
We sure do, Addison. And I don't know what I'm going to do.
We need to play some more of it before that comes out.
I was telling Mitzi, I think one of the reasons that I played so much of it is because it came out when my son was still a little meat sack who just laid on the floor all day. And now my son is a monster that runs through my house ripping Wii games off the shelf. And so I don't know how I'm going to have time to play that DLC, but I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. Man, I love Monster Hunter Rise.
It's
great,
so
game,
good.
Fantastic. Easily, any of my top three could have easily been interchanged for the number one spot. That's what I'm going to say. If you ask me tomorrow, I could say Monster Hunter Rise is my number one. But
honestly,
today it's
that's how
three.
My that's how I feel about my top three as well.
Yeah. All right. What's your number three?
Well, my number three is a game that I don't think you have bought, or if you have, you haven't started it yet, and it is No More Heroes 3.
Oh, I forgot that came out this year. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Have you
picked that up yet?
I have not. I was going to do that with my Christmas money, and then I bought Spy Fiction for the PlayStation 2.
Good. All right.
Man. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy it. I will buy it very soon. God, I need to play that game. I completely forgot it exists.
So good.
Yeah.
I found myself constantly while playing that game, just being blown away and just being like, wow, I can't believe they like mixed this up into this like weird like thing that I never thought that they could put into a No More Heroes game. And like all these designs are still like, it still feels very much like a No More Heroes game, but they just like went over the moon with it and like did so many cool over the top things. And I just don't want to spoil anything for you, so I'm trying to be kind of vague.
Please don't.
They definitely mix the gameplay up in some interesting ways, and every time that they did that, I was left just with my brain in a puddle on the floor. It was literally everything I wanted it to be. So I played through No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 this year, and then I finished No More Heroes 2 just a little bit before No More Heroes 3 came out. And so it was just great to get to play all those kind of back to back.
I'm questioning every single one of my life choices right now, because I've bought all, like every other No More Heroes game on release, and I didn't buy this one, and I feel like a big stupid idiot.
Your life looked a lot different when No More Heroes and No More Heroes 2 came out.
Very true. Very, very true.
But what's your number two? I think I know it, but tell me.
My number two is Metroid Dread.
Oh, my God. I thought that would be your number one.
I know. I thought it would, too. My number two is Metroid Dread. God, what a fantastic, perfect, awesome, incredible video game that honestly was way more important to me this year than I thought it would be, just because it's like I didn't realize how much Metroid Fusion meant to me when I played it, you know, 20 years ago. But just seeing that story continued and seeing a lot of those like similar vibes and locations coming back, it just really hit me in a lot of really cool ways. And also the game itself is just fucking amazing. The design, design, the gameplay design, the environments, holy cow, the environments. Like, I just,
there were so many little details in there.
Yep. There were just several points where I had to just stop this year and just sit and like watch the environment go by and just like animate, because it was just so gorgeous. And God, what a good game. What a good video game. Any other day you could have asked me, and this might have been number one. It's fantastic.
They did some just incredible like storytelling that isn't really found in a lot of the other games in the series. What I'm trying to say is like the amount and the quality of the storytelling, I think, is top tier here in the series. Like, I don't think it gets better than this. Like,
nope.
Maybe one of the Metroid Prime games, maybe. But I think this is like top shelf Metroid. Like,
yep.
They just nailed everything.
I think it's the best Metroid game. I'm sorry. I just think it's the best Metroid game, period.
I'm getting there. I think I might agree with you. But man, yeah, it's not the easiest game in the world, but like it does, like I've never been much of a Soulsborne person, but it does that Soulsborne thing. I know you're probably cringing like hearing me say that, but
the Dark Souls of Metroid.
But it's true though, because you just like will kind of get into a rotation on something and start to get frustrated, but then you overcome it, and it's such a good sense of accomplishment. And that
I was about to say, the final boss just kicks your ass. That's like honestly still one of the points where I'm like, is that a negative point or a positive point? Because it's such a
positive point.
It's such a fucking awesome boss battle, but it also took me 2 hours of throwing my controller on the ground.
But like, I felt so good after I beat that guy. Like,
the payoff too is incredible. Like the payoff, in like the cutscene and that final sequence is so good.
It's so good. Oh, I love that game.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And also, like, I feel like they really squeeze every ounce of the gameplay out. Like they use every part of the Metroid. It's like they make you really. Of course, no, that's actually not true, because they make you feel that way, right? But you can still go back and use more of the things that you've learned and use them in new ways to keep sequence breaking and finding new secrets in the game, which is exactly what you want in a Metroid game. I just can't believe how well they nailed it. It's so good.
It's going to have a lot of life as a speedrunning title.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I think we're only finding more and more and more ways where you can sequence break, and it's really cool. Also, I was going to say, I love what this game does with its story and the things that it doesn't say. And I think that's why we think the story is so good, because I think that I think the last Metroid mainline series game we got, Other M, it was like, that was the problem, was that it just wouldn't shut the fuck up. And I think if Other M had just shut the fuck up and like let you find documents and just like, you know, had just been a lot quieter, people would talk more about the story of that game. Like, oh yeah, the story's pretty good though, you know? But it's like, cause the story in Metroid Dread, honestly, pretty stupid if you really think about it. It's anime as hell, but it tells it in this way where it just lets you fill in the blanks and lets you figure out what's happening and lets you decide what's going on in Samus's head and what her internal dialogue is. But even aside from that though, there are just a few moments where they break that rule that really impact you a lot more, like where Samus actually does start speaking, or does show a big reaction to certain moments, and it just hits all that much harder because they parse those out so scantly. But God, what a good video game! What a good video game!
And that's why I was like specifying, you know, in the Metroid series.
Yeah.
I completely agree, which is why Metroid Dread is also my number two. So that, I feel like I don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, it's good. Play Metroid Dread. God, what a good video game.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we're down to our number ones.
I think if the audience doesn't know, I think we at least know what each other's number ones are.
My number one is new Pokemon Snap. I didn't expect this at all this year, but God, I new Pokemon Snap was just the video game I needed this year. And it just was an extremely special experience that, I always knew I loved Pokemon Snap, you know? I don't think I realized how much I loved it until this game's release approached and I played it. I went back and played it some more. And I was like, wow, what a cool, unique, interesting, creative video game that we will never see anything like ever again because these kinds of video games just don't get made anymore. And then new Pokemon Snap came out and it blows the socks off that original game in every conceivable way. The content, the visuals, the ways you can go back and not reuse content, but the ways you can keep revisiting the same locations over and over and how they evolve over time. It's just mind blowing and it works so well. And like the new mechanics they added are all objectively great. The way it has tons of different environments and then the way that they kept adding content to it, like the new additional stuff is just as good as the mainline stuff. God, new Pokemon Snap just like really landed for me this year. And I love the way that you said it's like a cozy hug of a game. And God, after 2020 and 2021 and everything that happened in my life this year, that is exactly what I needed, was a cozy hug of a game. And every time I went back to new Pokemon Snap, it just felt like exactly what I want out of video games over and over again. And it kind of sucks to me that it's been passed over so much this year. Like I was looking at like Nintendo Life's list and it was like down at number 10. And I was like, dude, man, come on. Like they put a few like ports higher than this. And I was like, dude, new Pokemon Snap is like an achievement in like alternative game design, in like rail shooter design, which we don't see very much of anymore. In just like, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. I could go on and on and on about new Pokemon Snap, and I have many times, and I will continue to, because it's a fantastic game, and I really hope that it continues to get appreciated over time. I feel like it's one of those games that out there somewhere, there are a bunch of kids who got this game for Christmas this year, and we won't hear people really talk about this game as much until we're like 10 years down the road, and we haven't seen a new Pokemon Snap game in 10 years, and kids just won't shut the fuck up because this game is that special. And in that way, it's a perfect successor to the original Pokemon Snap, which kind of had the same legacy of being, oh, it's a cheap Pokemon spinoff, but when you really sit down and examine what it does, how creative it is, and how fun it is to play, and also just how good it is at squeezing every last ounce out of a limited amount of content and reusing that content over and over in a way that doesn't feel cheap, I think it's gonna continue to be appreciated more and more over time until it's, you know, what do you call that? Not an underrated gem, but just a modern classic, I guess. I love Pokemon Snap. It's fantastic. And this is the best one. I can't believe it's better than the original, but it is. So it's my number one.
Whenever my little sister got her Switch for Christmas, the first thing that she asked to borrow from me was new Pokemon Snap. So
yeah,
it's still out there getting appreciated.
You know what? I think it's also... I think the other reason it really hits me so hard is because it's kind of the antithesis of everything happening in video games right now. It's like,
it really is. Yeah. That's
it's true. Like a limited amount of content, but it reuses that. I love games that are designed like Resident Evil, like the original Resident Evil games where they have small environments, but it reuses that environment. Like you like kind of like Resident Evil 2, which was also one of my games of the year a couple of years ago. It's like you get everything you possibly can out of that limited content because you learn it like the back of your hand by the end of the game. And I feel like this game is a masterclass in that. Like I said, on rail design, it's a slow and quiet and wholesome video game, which we just, even though you see that in the indie space a lot, you really don't see that in the AAA space too often. And yeah, I'm very thankful for new Pokemon Snap, and I'm glad it exists, and so I'm giving it my number one spot. But enough about that, Addison. I want to hear about your number one game, which I think I've also guessed.
Yeah. I'm sure you have gathered by now that my number one game is the... I was going to make a joke. I couldn't think of a joke. It's Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah.
I adore Monster Hunter Rise, and I spent a lot of time with it, and I want to spend even more time with it. I think that this is easily the best that Monster Hunter has ever been. They took everything that I loved about 4 Ultimate and everything that I loved about World, and they crammed it together, and they gave me a dog and a grappling hook. I was just like, I like this a lot. And all the new monsters, I think, are really, really well designed. They just keep putting out more content. A lot of people didn't like the, did they call them rampages?
The rampages, yep.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that, but I think that that's, like, a great addition. I think those are super fun, especially if you're playing with another person.
I feel like the people who didn't like those mostly played solo, TBH. Because, like, in multiplayer, if you're really communicating with your team and talking things through, I think they're really, really fun.
Yeah. And I don't even mind them solo, but, yeah, they are definitely better with a friend.
Yeah, for sure.
I know it was a lot of people's first Monster Hunter, or maybe their first one coming off of World. Mm-hmm. And I think that it did a really good job of growing the Monster Hunter audience.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait to see what all they do with this expansion. I just think that they did a fantastic job, and I'm really thankful that Monster Hunter exists, and it was just a really big highlight this year for me when it comes to gaming, because it was one of the few times that I can remember playing some sort of multiplayer game and like no one really being mad at someone else, and like everyone was just having a good time. Everyone got something out of it, and it was just always super, super fun. And I love it. And
I
really want to play more of it. We need to play more.
Every time I think about that game, I just think about that video I posted on Twitter where I just said, like, cracking one open with the boys, and we're all just, like, going fucking ham on that chicken monster. Just like,
yeah, man. There was a few videos like that this year.
and that's kind of, like, for me, the summation of what makes Monster Hunter Rise so great is they were just kind of like, you know what? Let's just give them all the stuff we've kept back because we didn't want to break the game. Let's just break the game. Let's just let them go crazy. Yeah. And it still works. Turns out, it works perfectly.
It's great still.
Yep. It's fantastic. God, I need to play more of that game. It's very good.
I do want to just kind of quickly go down some games that I've really enjoyed this year that weren't on any sort of portable platform.
Let me see if that's one of our questions really quick. Because we got a lot of questions, and I just want to make sure we can get to them all. Good Lord.
I don't think so.
I don't think we did. I think you're... Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to make this quick, but a handful of games that I've really, really enjoyed this year that you cannot play on the Switch. Resident Evil Village, I think, was really, really cool.
Yeah.
A just fantastic follow-up to 7.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart is one of the most insane things I've ever seen done on a video game console. I just adore that game, and I think it is a technical miracle. Ratchet & Clank's great. This is technically a 2021 release. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut. I just spent so much time with that game that I had to mention that at least one more time. I hadn't played the original PS4 one, and I just think that that game, it really blew me away. I did not think that I would enjoy that as much as I did after everything I'd heard, and I just really, truly did. Halo Infinite has a handful of problems, but is still a blast to play, and they're working on it all the time, so I'm hoping to keep up with that and play even more. I think the campaign was a little bit of a letdown, but I still had a ton of fun with that game this year. Psychonauts 2 is one of the best video games to come out this year. hands down.
Forgot that came out this year.
absolutely rules. After all of this time waiting, I'm so happy that that ended up being good. And lastly, a game that I know is amazing, and I really have to make myself sit down and play all the way through, and I just haven't yet, but is Inscription.
Oh. I know
that it's top of a lot of people's lists. And
I'm going to wait on that one for consoles, but yeah, I really want to check that one out too.
Yeah, everything I've played of it so far has been great, and I just hear that it gets better and better. All right, but you want to do some questions now?
Yeah, we've got a lot of them.
Do you want me to handle them, or are you going to handle them?
It's going to be a long one. I'll just go ahead and handle them. Okay. Let me see here. Everybody started chatting in the questions section, so I'm trying to like get to see what the actual questions are. Okay. So Hopscotch Plus asks, what was your biggest gaming-related achievement of 2021? For example, mine was he says, the DS collection. Joseph bought a lot of DS games this year. Congratulations, my friend.
I think I know what yours is, Jordan.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I would probably say mine was like my Game Boy collection, because I built a lot of... Oh, wait, no, not biggest gaming-related achievement. The blog. Duh.
Yeah, why I was like, obviously, I know what yours is.
Yeah, mine is CRT Pixels, which has kind of just reshaped the way I play games and also how I play games and also... taught me a lot of important lessons this year about gamers in general and video game communities and people at the tops of those communities and lots of other things. I'm despite some negative experiences in regards to that blog, I'm still very thankful for it and I still have a good time. So yeah, honestly, I think the coolest thing about it is that it's given me a platform to promote like smaller creators that I really love and who I think are, you know, who are making the kinds of things that I want to see more of in the community. And so I'm very thankful for that. And it also gave me a Sega Saturn and a PC Engine and a 3DO. So I can't complain. All right, Addison, what's your biggest gaming related achievement of 2021?
You know, I don't know that I really have a whole lot.
Are you kidding me? You built a Mister this year.
Was that this? Yeah, I guess that was this year.
And you got a PVM for $150.
Yeah, the PVM was the one that I was really going to mention. I was trying to think of like actual like achievements while playing a game, and I don't really have much of that other than
like on Xbox Live,
Dread, I guess. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, definitely the Friday night that I spent driving to some random place in Oklahoma and not getting murdered, which was a good part of that. And getting a PVM for like a hell of a deal. And so I've got a nice little PVM set up in my room, and I got the Mister hooked up to that, and it's a very fun cozy corner where I can just go visit a bunch of arcade games and other old video games. And then I've also set up a nice retro corner in my living room that I have several systems hooked up to, and my Trinitron in there. And so, yeah, I guess just a catch-all would be my retro corners that I set up this year. I've felt very good about those.
It's just a good thing to have. It's really nice to have this kind of analog space that's very separate from the noise and the... I don't know. There's like a lot of pressure that comes with modern video games. You know, it's like you feel this peer pressure to play the newest thing and to be part of the dialogue and to, you know, play with your friends before everyone drops off. And it's just really nice to have this space that's like intentionally out of date where you just have no one's like pressuring you to play anything or finish anything. You can just hop into fucking Cowboys of Moo Mesa and have a good time. I don't think that's out on the Mister yet, but someday. We'll get it someday. okay, so next question from Minecraft Steve-O said, if Fortnite isn't on Addison's list, I'm unsubscribing.
Oh, good news.
Oh, yeah. Over Omega asked, looking back since your Game of the Year 2020 list, is there anything you'd change being a year older and wiser and handsomer? I don't fucking remember my 2020 list, JoJo. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, imagine remembering your 2020 list. I was trying to find it, and I found... I had it, and then this crashed.
Nice.
I was trying to figure out what year this list was that I did find. What year did Smash come out?
Ultimate? Wasn't that 2018?
Okay, so I think this is my 2018 list.
Nice.
So I'll just use that as an example, and I will say that that was a pretty good list. I think maybe I might move into the breach up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what my list was last year.
we had Animal Crossing New Horizons at the top. I know that, and honestly,
I would leave that.
So would I. Nothing could really touch that, I don't think. It was just kind of the definitive experience in general for 2020. So all right. Gooey asked, I'll repeat what I asked last year. What was your favorite non-gaming related thing released in 2021? Ooh, that's a good question.
So I think on that one, at least last year, I think we just kind of talked a lot about TV shows, movies, albums, that kind of stuff. So let's see. I will say,
let's do like one of each of those. Let's not like do a ton of them.
Okay. Don't come for me. I know that
I'm gonna come for you. Do not come.
I know that he is fairly criticized. But Donda, the new album by Kanye West, was my album of the year. I think that was fantastic. Movies. My favorite movie of the year, I think... Oh, I have a list here, but I don't have it finished. I guess I posted it, but didn't actually write it in my notes finished. I'm trying to remember what it was. I believe it was... I think it was Dune.
Oh, really?
No, it was The Green Knight. I'm wrong. It was
Green Knight. Oh, yeah.
Green Knight was incredible. Yeah. So, I don't know. Are there any other things that you want to cover?
I sure did fucking love Malignant.
Yeah, Malignant was amazing.
What a stupid movie that I love. It's great.
If you don't know anything about Malignant, keep it that way and go watch it.
Just go watch it.
Just kicks ass.
Yeah, it sure does. It kicks a lot of ass. I'm trying to think what my like album of the year would be, but there wasn't a ton that came out. I really had not a lot of luck this year with like music. I mean, there's good stuff, but man, I know. It was that new, oh shit, I'm playing it now. I don't want to play it. No. It was that new Magdalena Bay album, whatever that was called.
Yeah, man, you introduced me to them.
Just a banger all the way through. Mercurial World. I love when like songs bleed into each other, you know, like how the artist like mixes it in.
Yeah,
this entire album does that, and then the last song bleeds back into the start. And so I would just like put this album on and listen to it like four times in a row all the time this year. And it's fantastic. Man, what a good album. Also, the music videos, very good. If you've not seen any of their music videos, extremely, extremely good. Highly recommend Magdalena Bay. I'm trying to think what movies this year. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, while you're thinking of that, something that I caught myself going back to and thinking a lot about this year was Midnight Mass.
I was just about to say that. Yes.
Yeah. Midnight Mass was so, so good. And yeah. I don't remember the person's name behind it, but they did the Haunting, the two different Haunting series that were on Netflix. And I like both of those. I think the first one is a lot better than the second.
Same.
But I like Midnight Mass better than both.
Yeah. Midnight Mass is fantastic. And just a very well-made show and with lots of cool things to say. But I will say we are currently watching Yellow Jackets. And
I hear a lot of good things about that.
Oh, man. That's up there. It's up there. I don't think it crosses Midnight Mass, but it... Boy, it's something. It's a very good show. Highly
I just
recommend.
Started
Yellow
Euphoria,
Jackets.
Which is a different kind of scary.
That show kind of stresses me out too much.
I don't blame you.
I forgot I already said Malignant. Malignant's very good. Okay, so what else do we have? I asked, what are the games we're most looking forward to in 2022? Just really quick.
Well, definitely Rune Factory 5.
Yeah, I'd say that's my number one for sure.
I guess because you're going to go on a little vacation here pretty soon, so probably the next time we record, I'll be talking about Pokemon Legends Arceus, and
yeah.
I am cautiously very much looking forward to that. I don't know. I know that there's going to be a ton of great games. Oh, Kirby, duh.
Yeah, Kirby. I was about to say, dude, real, like, oh, Kirby.
Real hype for that Kirby.
We're also supposed to get that new Teenage Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game this year.
Yes.
I
think this is the year that we get Young Souls.
Yep, we're supposed to. And we're also supposed to get Triangle Strategy in just a couple months.
Yes.
I'm cautiously optimistic for that one. And maybe Breath of the Wild 2. Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But
a lot of rumors about a new Mario Kart as well, but who knows?
I don't know about that. But I do know Chocobo GP comes out this year. I forgot about that.
Yep, that is true.
That one I'm not like insane about, but I think for me it's Kirby and Rune Factory 5 for sure.
Yeah, yep, those are probably the ones.
Yeah.
Super duper looking forward to those. I was trying to think of any Xbox or PlayStation things that I'm like really, really looking forward to. And I don't know. I think we'll probably see the next Yakuza game this year, but I don't think it'll come out this year. Or if it does, it won't be here. I don't think Final Fantasy 16 is this year.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, we do have Elden Ring coming out, but I'm waiting and seeing on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm looking at games for 2022, and it's just like Horizon Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok. Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. Like Gotham Knights, Dying Light 2, Stalker 2. Eh.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to that God of War quite a bit.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let me pull up the next question. Let's see here. Das Whalebeard asks, what's your favorite game you played in 2021, not released in 2021, aside from Jordan playing Animal Crossing? Yeah, I talked about that a lot in the last episode.
That should be both of us.
Yeah.
Because I also played a lot of Animal Crossing this year.
Yeah. I was thinking of the GameCube one, but yeah, I also played a lot of the Switch one too, so.
Favorite game? Well, I mean, I talked about Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah,
That was a SKU that came out in 2021, though. I don't know.
I've got mine. Can I talk about it?
Yeah, go for it.
Mine is a little Sega Saturn game that recently got fan translated called Bulk Smash. I think it's probably the best third-person action game on the Saturn from what I've played, or it's one of the best. It is an awesome mech game and the fan translation is incredible because they actually dubbed the voice acting into English, and they did like a 90s style anime dub, and it is so good, and it just feels perfect to play, and it feels excellent. It feels perfect for like the era, and it's another one of those games that you can beat in like an hour, but you can keep going back and finding more and more and more and more things. I love that game. Bulk Smash is fantastic. I don't think we'll ever see like a remaster or anything. So if you want to play it, I think this is the way to play it. But that would probably be my number one. I also had a really good time this year, though, revisiting the Gen 6 James Bond games. I played like, 007 Nightfire and 007 Agent Under Fire and, you know, a couple of the others that I haven't finished yet. And I really liked playing those games. It was just a lot of fun. And I don't think they get as much recognition as they should just because they get overshadowed by GoldenEye. But I do think they're better games because I also beat GoldenEye this year. And boy, that was a fun but frustrating experience. So I'll just say.
So a few things that come to mind. I played a lot of Dicey Dungeon, which came out like the tail end of 2020. And I got a lot of people into that this year.
Yeah, I think Dicey including Dungeon me.
Rules. And then, I played just a lot of just random stuff on the Mister, like stuff that I could not even like begin to think of, like,
yeah.
But I had a lot of fun just discovering arcade games on there and just going through and like adding a bunch of stupid Sega CD bullshit and like checking that out. I guess I would maybe just say the Mister as a whole because it's just a treasure trove of amazing games and garbage games. I played a lot of Yoshi's Island on the Mister this year. I can point to that. And then the other one that I was thinking of was playing Paper Mario, the Nintendo 64 one on my Switch.
Oh, hell yeah.
Been playing a good chunk of that, in like the third chapter of that now.
Oh, I remembered one, which was Forager. I played a ton of Forager this year. That game dominated my life for a little while. That was a big one.
That's right. God.
Another one that I haven't really talked much about this year, but recently I've been trying to get back into, is Hot Shot Racing. I reviewed that, I think, in 2020, but it's gotten a ton of updates and like a huge update just recently with a lot more content. And throughout the year, I've kind of just been like here or there diving back into that. But yeah, that new content, if you have that game or if you haven't played it, it's a great time to do that. Hot Shot Racing is maybe my favorite arcade racer on the Switch other than Cruisin' Blast. So I highly recommend it. All right. It's also by the team that did Sonic Racing Transformed, if you're a fan of that game. All right. What's another one? Ben Raymer. I got a new...
basically asked the same question Das Whale Beard did.
Oh, okay. He also asked, the worst thing that Addison impulsively bought due to a Wario 64 tweet award.
I was going to say Borderlands 3, but I looked it up I bought that in 2020. I was trying to think what it would be, and I think my answer would be Balan Wonderworld, which I absolutely knew was gonna be bad, but a sick part of me needed to play it. And I got it on a sale, I don't feel bad about it. I played a lot of that game, and it might surprise you to hear that it's a bad game, but yeah, it's bad. Like, there's not really anything that I can think of that I bought that I really regret. Like, I bought the BioShock collection for Switch like real cheap, but I played a good chunk of BioShock 1, so I think I got my money's worth out of that.
I can think of a few things that you bought that I regret you buying.
I would like to hear a few of those, please.
Balan Wonderworld is definitely one of them. I'll tell you what's not one of them is that big fucking awesome One Piece statue I really wish I had grabbed.
I can't wait for that to show up.
I'm really interested to see what that looks like. Okay, I have one more question to close us out, Addison, and this is just kind of a wholesome one. What is your biggest achievement from 2021 that you're most proud of that's not video game related, just for you personally as a person?
I feel like I've been making a lot of changes and achievements early in this year that I wish I could point to, but they're this year, so I can't. But I think moving from my previous job to my current job is probably like the number one, because I just was not happy at my previous job, and I really enjoyed my current job, and everything has just worked out really well for me with it, and things have only gotten better. And so that would probably be my answer.
Yeah, mine was buying a bunch of horror VHS tapes. No, I'm joking. I was just looking at them and I thought that'd be funny. No, I think that's a very good answer. And also, I've noticed how happy you've been at your new job, and I've been very happy for you. So congratulations. I think that mine was, there was a lot this year. I think this is definitely the hardest year of my entire life, but also it was like, there's a lot of development too. And I think that like, I just gained a whole new perspective this year on like life and friendship and time and all kinds of things that like just really made me thankful for what I have. And even though I've still been, you know, like not necessarily living that out and just buying a bunch of shit I don't need because I want serotonin, it's really made me appreciate my life in ways that I didn't understand before. I just kind of have a new appreciation for even just being able to like play with my son for an afternoon. It's just like, what a privilege, you know? Because some days, like, I'd really just, that's the last thing on earth I want to do, because he can be annoying. I don't know if you know this, but kids are annoying. But also, it's just like, man, sometimes when you're able to do that, it's like, wow, I like, I should be thankful for this thing, even if it's annoying, that I just having the ability to do it. And that's been a really, I don't know, I'm proud of myself for kind of getting there this year and just making it through. And I think one of the best parts about this year was you, Addison, because you're just, you're a very good friend, and I've had a great time with you, and I appreciate you. And I wish we could have done more episodes this year, but that's, it, we just couldn't, because we've been saving them all for 2022, baby.
Yep. We're gonna we still did a lot of cool shit in 2021, yeah. though, and I think, actually, I want to change my answer to that I am partially responsible for getting you back into wrestling, and so that's my answer. Because we went to a wrestling show, and it kicked ass, and it was a very good day.
What's the biggest character flaw you added to yourself personally in 2021? Mine would be, I now watch wrestling.
Mine would be, I watch more wrestling.
All right. What's the what undateable traits have you added to yourself in 2021? Oh, God.
We've already recorded way too long. Can't go down that hole.
All right. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening. We know this was a long one, but we had a lot of ground to cover, so we appreciate it. I'm very excited for what 2022 holds for video games in general, but also the show. Do you think this is the year we'll start hearing the rumors about the Switch successor? I think it is.
I feel like we already have.
Yeah, I feel like that's going to be a big theme this year, because I don't know if you noticed, but the Switch, it's going to be 5 years old here in a couple months, and that's something. I don't like that. I don't like thinking about it either. But yeah, I'm very excited for what's coming up in 2022. I'm excited for stuff we're going to be covering on the show. Stuff we've got planned personally. Hey, maybe if the government gets their ass in gear, we'll be able to go to PAX. That'd be neat. That'd be cool. Guess we'll wait and see on that one. But either way, we will get to see a lot of friends and listeners this year, which I'm excited about. And so I hope that you guys had a great 2021. I know it was a rough one, but I hope it was better for you than it was for me. It probably was. But I hope that 2022 is even better, and I hope that it's a very good year for you. Years are arbitrary and stupid, but I hope your life's going well, and I guess that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Addison, for co-hosting, and we want to say thank you to the folks who let us use their music for our intro and outro. Thank you to Time Trials thank you to Hyper Potions for letting us use their song Time Trials for our intro, and thank you to Sound Market for letting us use his Pokemon Snap remix Hut by the River for our outro. And I guess we will see you guys soon. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.